The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
When the time has come for moving on, you can't go wrong.
Pointing You Home with Eric Stewart on WMAL.
Pointing You Home.
Now, here's your host, Eric Stewart.
Good morning, Washington. Welcome to the Eric Stewart Show. At the top of the 8 o'clock hour, you'll be hearing your number one resource for local real estate news, Pointing You Home, where we'll be talking about Amazon's possible move into the D.C. metro area. What could it mean? And at 8:30, our Senior Solutions Real Estate Show is back. Today, we're joined by Helen Flynn from the Senior Solutions team. And also, Right Sizing for Life. We'll continue our 10-part series on Right Sizing for Life. That and so much more, all over the next hour, and some surprises too. Okay, straight ahead, we've got Amazon choosing 20 finalists for their potential future location. And what does that mean to you, and what does that mean to me? And that's ultimately the question that we all have, right? Okay, so let's say they do move to the D.C. metro area. And as a part of that move, they end up locating in Loudoun County, which is in my mind, probably the most logical local choice for them to consider moving to. Why? Because the Silver Line is going out to Dulles. There's still a lot of vacant land in that area, and 50,000 new employees can move into areas that will go out an hour to the west of there, all the way out to Winchester, and buy decent and reasonably priced housing stock, or go to the north, go off of 81 to the north, even up into Pennsylvania, and come to work during the daytime hours, or live in an apartment anywhere nearby or on the metro line and be able to get to work. To me, that's the logical choice for another reason, because of Dulles, right? Dulles is right there. The ease of access of landing and getting on. You've got a corporate office. It's a corporate headquarters. They've already got distribution points in a variety of areas, but this is a corporate headquarters that might employ 50,000 people and bring $5 billion into an economy, whichever economy they choose to go into. So it's a serious benefit to any economy that receives them potentially. They had over 220 different places they might have considered to. They've knocked out 90% of them, and they're now at the top 10%, which includes Loudoun County, Fairfax, and Montgomery counties. The statement from Amazon is that they believe that Montgomery County is pro-business, and God bless them. I'm glad they see something in Montgomery County that's pro-business, because the taxation in the Montgomery County area is pretty high. You know, it's just pretty high, and it's not necessarily for business the way that I see that they could be. So maybe there's something Amazon sees that I'm not seeing, and therefore, as a benefit to our future, Montgomery County is going to get back on track to really being pro-business and seeing growth in business. I hope that's the case. So Amazon coming into the area would be a real benefit to any area that it moves into. So at this time of the year, we start putting real estate on the market. We start bringing houses to the market. So I want to take a minute and chat about two houses that we're putting on the market this week. One is in Gaithersburg, Maryland, in the Hadley Farms subdivision. It's in Magruder High School District for $500,000, a four-bedroom, two-and-a-half-bath single-family home with a beautiful basement, gorgeous updated kitchen and baths, nice backyard. There's an elementary school just a block away, Judith Resnick Elementary School Parks. The Lois Green Conservation Park is just on the back of this community. Plus, there's a wonderful swim club. And at $500,000, a real value to be in that price, in that size of a single-family home in the Hadley Farms. That's Gaithersburg, 20879. Then in Oakton, Virginia, on Vale Road, we've got a home that has just gone on the market. It's a split level that has a contemporary style appeal to it. It's got that wood exterior, nice big bedrooms and fresh bathrooms, big, large kitchen that's got a big eating area on the inside of it, high ceilings, those cathedral ceilings that are indicative of more of a contemporary flair. Living room also has contemporary high ceilings, big fireplace in it. And there's a causeway between the house and the garage, which is, if you like a garage, the house on Vale has got a garage you'd love, because not only does it have a high ceiling in the bay, but above the bay is another area that could be turned into an art studio, a recreation room, or whatnot. And this home at $700,000 is a great value. Both of these properties will be available this weekend for showing. If you'd like information or like to see if they're going to be open, go to ericstewartgroup.com. That's ericstewartgroup.com. You've heard these agents who promise to buy your house at a time frame you agree to, or they'll buy it themselves. But let's take the cover off of this whole concept, this whole shenanigan here, because the fact is that no agent will just guarantee to buy your house if they don't sell it, unless they guarantee it at such a low price you would never do it. Okay? It's too good to be true. The fact is that the promise is we guarantee to buy your house if you buy one of our listings. And then again, you have to agree to accept a price on your property that's going to be below what you would actually be willing to accept. In 14 years, I've offered a guaranteed buy program where if someone buys one of my listings, I guarantee to sell their house if they need to sell it, so I'm not taking a contingent offer for my home seller that I'm representing. A buyer comes in, they got to sell their property, I give them a guarantee, I'll put your house on the market and sell it within 90 days, or I'll buy it at a price we agree to up front as long as you buy my listing. Wow, that sounds good, right? But the buyer's got to accept the offer that I give them for their property, which might be just too low. Mind you, I give you a case where I gave a guarantee. There's a property I had listed for $650,000. The property was on the market. A buyer came and wanted to see the property, and we showed them the property. They said, well, we love it. We want to buy it, but we have one problem. We have to get the equity out of our existing residence to be able to afford this. So I guaranteed that seller, that buyer-seller. So this is now the buyer trying to buy my listing is now a seller of a property. They have to sell it to get the equity out. I guaranteed to pay them 90% of the list price if I couldn't sell it within 90 days. Now, mind you, their house was worth $450,000. I guaranteed to buy it for $405,000 after 90 days if I couldn't sell it. Now, I don't want to buy their house, folks. I'm not interested in buying an investment property this way. My goal is strictly to remove the contingency for them when they're trying to buy my listing. Because my seller, whose house I've got listed for $650,000 that I'm representing in the transaction, the sale of their property, they don't want to take a contingent offer. It's kind of like an, you know, unloaded gun. It doesn't really have any weight, no power to it. But by removing the contingency, I've put the bullet in. It's now able to fire at the target and everybody can be happy. So I go ahead and I write a contract with the couple who have the $450,000 house. I guarantee to buy it after 90 days. We agree. It's an 8-page contract I had an attorney draw up. I now turn around and write an offer on the listing that I have, and they write full price, $650,000. Now, my seller's very happy to get a full price offer, but it gets better. Another offer comes in from another buyer. This buyer, who really wants to buy the property, has no contingency on the sale of a home. So now there's a buyer who's non-contingent that comes in with another broker, and I have a buyer who's come in with my guarantee that's non-contingent now because I gave them that guarantee. And the two duke it out. And guess what happens? Yep, the price goes up. The price went up $40,000. For my seller at $650,000, they ended up at $690,000. Talk about a dream come true, right? So the guarantee actually produced a non-contingent competitive opportunity for my seller to get more money. Now, it's great for my seller, and my seller loves me. They gave me a big, beautiful basket to say, wow, this is unbelievable. We just paid for all your commissions and then some through your guarantee because you attracted a buyer who was willing to compete. And we, if we hadn't had that non-competitive buyer, guess what would have happened? We would have only had the $650,000 offer from the other people, but we ended up at $690,000, very happy. Well, the couple whose house I took onto the market at $450,000, now, either we're going to sell it to me after 90 days, or I was going to try to sell it before that for more money, because I really don't want them to take my offer. I want them to get the most money. So we put it up for $450,000. Within 2 weeks, I had their home under contract for $430,000. So they ended up getting the home of their dreams, had to fight for it, but they got it. Got their house under contract at a price that was reasonable to them and reasonable to me as well, and I didn't have to buy it. So we had a win-win-win situation for everyone. Now, that's how a guarantee buy can really serve you as a seller. Not with some empty guarantee, well, if I don't sell it, I'll buy it. Well, folks, you would never accept the offer that someone gives you in that case. So don't take that bait. You hear it all the time. It's a common advertising trick in the real estate business. All right, so moving on. I got to tell you a miracle story. One of my listings, so this is a story of me selling real estate. I recently walked into one of my listings. The sellers are out of town. We go through the cold spell that we had. You remember, 10, 12 days of extraordinary cold. The sellers are out of town, they left the water on, and the thermostat stops working. I might tell you the rest of that story right after the break. This is a 7,500 square foot home, square foot house. You've got to hear what happened. It's a miracle. It's a miracle what occurred. One of my clients called me and asked me to sell their house. I came over and met with her. We signed all the paperwork. A week later, she called me and she said, "I can't do it." I said to her, "Don't worry." She said, "What do you mean?" I said, "No problem. I'll be here when it comes time. I don't want you to sell a house if you're not ready." And she said, "Oh my gosh, that's great." Her circumstances had changed. In real estate, you want somebody who's committed to what's best for you. You want somebody who will guide you through the process, give you insight, and help you figure out what's best for you, even if it means not moving. And that's what we do at the Eric Stewart Group. Want more information? Go to ericstewartgroup.com. Frozen pipes, what happens? Right after this, don't go away.
This is Pointing You Home on WMAL.
Can you imagine leaving your house and having the furnace off and the water on in your home going into the cold snap that we just had? Can you imagine? I had a home about 25 years ago where water was pouring out of the front of the house because the seller had left the pipes, the water on and the heat off, and went to Malaysia. I got a call from the fire department. There was a lockbox on the door. Guess what? The key was under the mat. They spent 3 hours trying to open the lockbox. They ended up having to break the whole door down and then, you know, shut everything down. I mean, it was comedic what occurred, but sad at the same time. We sold the property. The insurance took care of stuff. But still, can you imagine? I've got a house. It's a 7,500 square foot home. The seller did not purposely turn the heat off. They have a thermostat that stopped working because the battery was no longer good. It simply died, and therefore the heat was off. I walk in, just checking on it, just checking on my seller's property. I walk in. I can see my breath, folks. Uh-oh, not good. I walk in. I go from the top floor to the bottom floor, and I'm just waiting to see where the brakes are, but there are no brakes. Nowhere. It's cold as ice. The batteries are dead. I go out, get some batteries, come back, put the batteries in, you know, still seeing my breath. Furnace turns on, but just before I actually put the batteries in, I go in, shut the water off at the house, because I'm thinking maybe the pipes are so frozen that possibly the water isn't coming out because they're so frozen. But that's not likely because, you know, when a pipe does burst, there's enough pressure behind it, you would actually have the damage. It happened in another property. It was a foreclosure property, a property going to foreclosure, actually, where the seller left. I'd been over to the house. The furnace was on. Everything was working. And the seller just abandoned the property. This is during the heyday of our dark days of the Great Recession. Water pouring into the basement. It was awful. This seller, I called the seller up and I told him the story of this other person that had this happen to them. And I said, "What do you think?" And he said, "That's just an absolute miracle. I can't believe that person is the most fortunate person possible. I cannot believe that they avoided having their house flooded that way." And I stopped, I paused, and I said, "Well, can I tell you something?" And he said, "Sure." And I said, "It's your house." He said, "What?" I said, "It's your house." He said, "My house? You mean this happened to me?" I said, "It happened to you." He said, "Oh my goodness." You know, sometimes miracles do happen in this business. I got to say, with the weather at 7 degrees outside, it is a miracle that that house did not just get destroyed. Hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of work, that I hadn't gotten a call from the fire department about it. You just never know. But thank God. I told him, I said, "You know, God was looking out for you, my friend. You know, mercy, angels protecting your house." Hey, if you're going to do an open house, there are 7 items that you should not leave behind during an open house. You know how I feel about open houses. They only sell homes 1% of the time. And if it's only 1%, why do it unless you've exhausted the other 99%? Because in fact, the open house is a facilitator to get people through. But what are the 3 groups of people that come through an open house? Well, I'm not going to answer that question. I'm going to make this a contest. I want you to tell me, what are the 3 groups that come through a house? And if you guess correctly, what are those 3 groups, the 3 major groups that come through a house? I'm going to give you 2 tickets to see the Caps play in late February. Seriously, I want your answers. We had a good response to naming our Right Sizing for Life segment in the next show. If you can guess, I'll tell you what, I'll make this a little easier. Give me 2. Give me 2 out of 3, and I'll give 2 tickets. If you can guess all 3, I'll also give away 2 tickets. The probability, though, is that I'll have a lot of people guessing 2 out of the 3, and we'll draw one person's name out of the hat for that. But I might get 1, 2, or maybe 3 of you all who will get all 3. All right. So you need to submit those to radio@ericstewartgroup.com. That's radio@ericstewartgroup.com. So what are the 7 personal items you should not leave behind? So if you live in an affluent neighborhood and you choose a trusted real estate agent that you feel comfortable with, maybe leaving for the first open house that you're going to have, and you come home and you discover that things have been taken, where are they most likely to be taken from? The drug cabinet, folks. Ambien, Vicodin, hydrocodone, anything in that vein. Your open house, people coming through an open house will take your drugs now because they're a highly controlled substance. You know, I tried to get some Sudafed for my daughter who had a wicked cold. I could not buy it in the aisle any longer. It had been a while since I bought some. I had to get a prescription. It's sold over the counter, but the prescription was necessary for me to be able to get it. When an open house rolls around, you already know how to leave out stacks of, you know, cash or piles of dirty clothes. You don't leave those things out, right? You don't leave those things out. There are plenty of other things you should also hide. So, number one, your personal documents. Obvious, okay? Number 2, the mail that is addressed in your name. Don't leave that stuff out where people can see who you are at your house. It's not their business. Number 3, space heaters, fans, other things like that. Okay, you don't want to give a buyer the wrong idea that you need heat, auxiliary heat, just because you prefer a certain warmth, because they may not have the same kind of taste that you do. You know, my spouse has a very different body temperature than I do most of the time. So there, you know, I don't like to sleep in a hot room. An empty ashtray on your patio table, don't do that. Don't leave your pet boa constrictor, right? I mean, I know that's a temptation for some of you. Number 6, don't leave your Make America Great sign or your I'm with her sign or Me Too sign or I'm for Obama sign. In other words, politics is not a part of real estate. What someone believes or otherwise, you don't want to allow that to be a turnoff to a prospective buyer because you're not selling your political values, you're selling the house. And number 7, delicious food in your fridge. I don't think I've ever had this happen, but guests may help themselves to what's in the fridge. A quick grab-and-go item for somebody who's in the kitchen and you're, you know, showing the other side of the house. It's, you know, they just open, they see something, wow, that looks good. I honestly don't think that's ever happened. I did have drugs. I did have some oxycodone stolen out of one of my houses when I had an open house. I'm not a big believer in open houses. There are 3 groups that come through, and you're going to tell me to win tickets to the Caps game, at least 2 out of 3. Better chance at 3 out of 3. We're going to give away 2 pairs for this particular contest. Okay? All right. Okay, real quick, 7 simple flaws that really convey the wrong thing about your house, be careful. Just be aware. Old electrical panels, if you have it, it's worth $2,000 to $3,000. It's a small issue because as far as you're concerned, your electrical works, but buyers are overly concerned, oftentimes because home inspectors cause them to be overly concerned. Number two, ripped window screens. Just take the screens off, folks. Put them in the basement. They're not a requirement for your window. And frankly, if you're looking out and you've had your windows clean when you're putting your house up for sale, they'll look cleaner, brighter as you look outside if you don't have the anodized aluminum window screens blocking your view. The location of your laundry room. It can actually be an issue. It's an issue. Sticky door locks. Opening a door and having it be hard, you know, having to really tug on that door. Simple sanding, and oftentimes this may be weather-related. Moisture in the air causes the doors to expand and a little warping to occur, and then in the wintertime, oftentimes it works fine. Your bathtub, your shower, having the caulk be a little too dark, right? Suggesting maybe there's a mold problem when there isn't. Small closets. So you can do a few things there is make your closets look roomier by decluttering them. And lastly, the walls of your kitchen. They might look at the possibility of breaking down a wall, so you may want to consider just opening up a wall and creating a dramatically different feel for that kitchen. It's not a lot of money for demolition, but it's a lot more when they don't understand or can't see it. Okay, well, we're out of time already. EricStewartGroup.com for more information on our group. Call us today at 800-900-9104 if you'd like for one of us to come out and meet with you. Senior Solutions, just around the corner.
The Eric Stewart Show, pointing you home on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.